Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special edition of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
The pitch.
Ring it along. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up.
It's a goner.
From the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida, this is Sports Open Line. T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Friday, February 15th, 2019 edition of the program. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Coming to you from our T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida, as we wrap up another day of Cardinals workouts, pitchers and catchers working out once again today. But just about everybody's here. It's just not necessarily the formal workouts yet, as we are joining you on Facebook Live as well as your home for the Cardinals and Blues KMOX. Here's what we've got coming up on the show. Going to be on Facebook Live for these first segments, and we will talk some Cardinals baseball. We'll answer your questions. We can get into some Blues as well, as they have just been ridiculous. They win their eighth straight game last night, and they are now in third place in the Central Division. Absolutely incredible. And they're what, 10 points behind Nashville with some head-to-head matchups coming up, and also a couple of games in hand, four games in hand. So it's just been remarkable what the Blues have done. Two games in hand. Get my games in hand mixed up, as the schedule is so compressed. But it's been a remarkable run for the Blues. We're going to talk a little Blues hockey coming up on the program tonight. Chris Kerber is going to join me. But again, we can take your Blues questions here on Facebook Live as well in our first couple of segments. But a lot of Cardinals. Mike Claiborne will be with me in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk about some of what we've seen over the last couple of days, some of the big stories of the last couple of days. I was right, Mike Anderson points out, four games in hand. Okay. Some of the big stories of the last couple of days, and some of what we expect to see over the weekend, because games start a week from tomorrow, and not only do you have to get guys ready and get the club ready, but you also need to start to find innings for pitchers. You need to start mapping out your pitching schedule. You need to get a lot of looks at guys. You need to figure out how much volume certain guys need to get ready, whether that be number of starts, whether that be innings. I imagine for a lot of the starters, especially John Mozeliak pointed out yesterday, somebody like a Jack Flaherty, that could simply be a number of starts in terms of going through your routine, actually getting on the mound and actually starting a game. And maybe also being, I guess, strategic about the kind of opposition you're going to face, some of the regulars that someone like Jack would face, and what that means. So that will all start over the next few days leading up to the Grapefruit League opener, which is going to happen just over my shoulder here at Roger Dean Stadium. Just inside a gate, we are 100 yards from the outfield wall where the players walk in. So baseball will be here very, very soon, and we're talking about it here on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Hop on a Facebook Live or tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. That is where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's where you get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow along at KMOX.com/Cardinals. That's where all of our great content for the website is going. Sam Masterson's doing a great job. Shout out to Sam. Ben Boyd's doing a great job. Shout out to Ben. I think you see his right elbow here in the corner of the screen. And we have you covered here in Jupiter. So we'll take some questions if folks jump onto the Facebook Live and want to chat I want to begin with some of the position guys and some of what we've seen now as they've reported and as we've started to talk about what the lineup might look like, what Mike Schilt's options might be, and how I think this club is going to look, especially at the top of their order. Now, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Paul Goldschmidt and also talking about Paul Goldschmidt in relation to Matt Carpenter and Marcell Ozuna. The fact that both Carpenter and Goldschmidt last year, I think, were bitten by some bad luck. I think put up numbers not consistent with not just what they've generally done over the course of their career, but where they ended the season. And for two guys, like, I can't really stress this enough, and I'd have to go back and really dig into some of the numbers, but for two guys to both be hitting around the Mendoza line in May and even late May, for the case of Paul Goldschmidt, and then still be in the top five in a baseball and hard hit rate, still both garner MVP votes. It was Goldschmidt finishing sixth and Carpenter finishing ninth. I think that's pretty incredible. It's a testament to the kinds of players they are. It's a testament to sticking with the system, and it's a testament to just how good their second halves were. Like, I know that seems fairly obvious, but I don't think you can overstate how good the second halves for both those guys were. So with that being said, when you have Matt Carpenter, Paul Goldschmidt, and Marcell Ozuna, who I believe will be occupying in some combination, if not 1 through 3 in the order, certainly 1 through 4. And you have 188 combined home runs between the six of them, which is what, 32.67 each for each guy over the past two seasons, then what does the top of the order look like around them? Specifically, the two spot. And for the purpose of this discussion, we will say, what if Paul Goldschmidt does not hit second? I think there is an argument to be made that you could go Carpenter, Goldschmidt, Ozuna. You could go Carpenter, Goldschmidt, DeJong, Ozuna. But I like the idea of your two best hitters and the two guys who get on base the most hitting 1-2. However, there is, I think, an option where you could go in a different direction at the two hole, and you could go speed, but it may be more importantly, you could go on base, because Matt Carpenter, let's face it, might be, and I say this not in a derogatory way, just as a matter of fact, he might be the slowest everyday player on the team. I've seen Yadi beat him in a race. So let's say that speed and stealing a lot of bases is maybe not necessarily the most important thing to consider when considering who is going to be in the two hole. So I think then you can go one of two ways if it's not going to be Paul Goldschmidt. And I think it's probably going to be your right fielder. And then I think that comes down to Dexter Fowler or Jose Martinez. And I think that both offer interesting advantages and both come with their own set of questions. Now, I am one that believes that Jose Martinez is going to be a very, very valuable piece of this club. It's why, excuse me, over the course of the offseason, when there was just maybe this presumption that he was going to be traded, I was a little surprised by that. I think he has a very, very valuable skill set that is hitting. It is getting on base, and it is not something that I would simply give away for nothing, because while you can pigeonhole him or suggest that he would be best suited as a DH, well, yeah, obviously, two factors. One, does a potential move of Jose Martinez and the player that you would acquire make you better? That's the first question. And B, will the DH be in the National League soon? I don't know if you could acquire a player right now to make you better for Jose Martinez, just in terms of your roster and your personnel, and I do think the DH will be in the National League very, very soon. So let's assume, for the purpose of this exercise, that Jose Martinez remains on the team and that Dexter Fowler remains healthy. Then you have two guys that I think can compete for a lot of playing time, and two guys that I think could, if not share right field, could complement each other well. Fowler mashes right-handers. He plays at least an above-average defensive right field, I think, especially with Harrison Bader next to him. And in 2017, despite the fact that last year he missed a lot of time and was hurt, he put up pretty much his career numbers. If he's healthy this year, is it reasonable to expect that he'll be able to get on base at a 360, 365 clip? I think so, and then have Goldschmidt and Ozuna behind him. Martinez, while not playing an above-average defensive right field, I think he's passable there, especially with his bat. And then his offensive upside is so great that I think he would be another weapon at the top of the order and another guy to not only get on base, but if Paul Goldschmidt, Marcell Ozuna were behind him, potentially he and Dexter Fowler would just see a ton of fastballs and a ton of good pitches, because if Matt Carpenter is already on base, which he generally is, you certainly don't want to walk or put the second guy on with the prospect of the rest of all of those 188 combined home runs looming on deck. So I really like the idea of both Dexter Fowler and Jose Martinez. I really like the idea if both of those guys are healthy, both of them complementing each other in different ways in right field. Is Dexter Fowler ever going to have the 2016 that he had with the Cubs? I don't know. However, kind of to come full circle, what was the scenario and what were the conditions in which Fowler put up that monster year? It was as a part, as a complement of a very, very good team, a very, very good offense, and a very, very good defensive right fielder next to him. What could the Cardinals have this year? A very good team, a very, very good offense, and a very, very, very good defensive center fielder next to Dexter Fowler. So I think there are some fair comparisons to make between Dexter Fowler's potential role and potential fit on this Cardinals team and his role and fit on the 2016 Cubs. Although this time he wouldn't be facing Andrew Miller late in the game. He'd be hopefully playing right field while Andrew Miller pitches. We'll talk a little bit more pitching when we come back. We'll get to some of these questions as well, including a question about Ozuna's arm. You know, they say all systems go. They haven't really been working or uncorking stuff. That'll happen later this weekend. First full workout, I guess, will be Monday to answer Kevin Brown's question. But, Mike, we won't really know about Ozuna's arm until we actually, I guess, see, most importantly, games. And he did have a procedure, so there hasn't been any word on what that means. But it doesn't appear he's limited at all. I mean, he hit a ball today. Was that, did either of you guys, I asked Sam and Ben, see the ball that Ozuna hit today? It may have been farther or as far as the ball Goldschmidt hit yesterday. And we paced off the Goldschmidt batting practice home run that almost hit me yesterday. And I measured using a GPS app, a straight line from home plate to that spot. It was like 495 feet. So the Ozuna home run and batting practice today may have actually been longer. Ozuna actually is the guy that hit the longest home run for the Cardinals last year. It was like 480-something feet. He was destroyed on the center field. Yeah, he almost hit his own Lamborghini in the parking lot. But it doesn't appear that his shoulder, at least from a swinging perspective, is compromised at all. I mean, if it is, then I don't know what uncompromised would be. You can't hit a ball farther than that. Also, Chris asks about pitchers out of options. Yeah, that could complicate things, or at least give them some decisions. So what that means is that you have option years where you can send guys back and forth between the minors. It's an option year, not an option, but an option year, without having to designate them for assignment or outriding them, but essentially passing them through waivers before you'd be able to place them back in the minor leagues and off the 25-man roster. And that is Mike Myers and John Gant for the right side and Jason Shreve from the left side. So I do think that if not complicates things, it gives them decisions, because if you want those guys in the organization and they're not going to be in the club, they would have to go through the waiver process, and you know, every other team around Major League Baseball will get an opportunity to grab them. So that is what that means, and you know, way early to speculate about that, especially because there still could be injuries or could be other factors that go into what you need from a pitching perspective. We'll talk a little bit more about the pitching, though, when we come back. Also, you can check out the video right here at the bottom of the Facebook Live from that Goldschmidt home run. If we get any more questions during the commercial break, we can continue with our Facebook Live session. We'll continue on KMOX, though. But you can also check out, of course, the podcast of every Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Online at KMOX.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and also all of our content from spring training at KMOX.com/Cardinals. So that's all coming up. It's What's on Tap, and it's sponsored by Midwest Money. Chris Ramby with you. It's Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We are in our T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida. Ben Boyd, the executive producer of the program. Sam Masterson helping us out down here. He is the digital wizard. Mike Anderson, my guy, back in the KMOX studios, and we're back with more after this. A little more baseball before some hockey talk on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hanging on Jupiter at Cardinals Spring Training from the T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. Chris Kerber is going to join me in a moment. We'll talk some Blues hockey. We'll get back to some Cardinals talk coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. And Mike Anderson, I'm curious, as we welcome Mike Anderson to the program for the first time tonight. We keep saying that like some of these games for the Blues could be potential trap games, especially last night, the Arizona game. You know, the last time they went out to Colorado and played a great game on a Friday, they got whooped on a Saturday by Arizona. Had that great game in Vegas before Thanksgiving, and then got whooped the next night by San Jose. Granted, last night, not the second night of a back-to-back, but I just continue to be more and more impressed over the course of this win streak by how they're playing, how they're starting games, and how they're putting teams away, whether it be some of the best teams in the league or teams that they should beat.
Yeah, it's almost like at what point now do we disregard that notion that, hey, this could be a trap game, because they haven't fallen for any of these apparent traps yet, which is just mind-blowing.
Maybe it wasn't
considering the mindset you had for this team the first half of the year, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, I meant to say that that's a really good point, and that maybe it was never really a trap game. Maybe the Blues were just a team that played up or down to the level of opponent, or were maybe they were just inconsistent. And what you were going to get on a night-to-night basis could be inconsistent. But now, really going back to that game in Philly that started off this crazy five-week stretch where you have 27 points and 13 wins, and you've only lost three times in 17 games in regulation, you are playing just consistent, all-around, great hockey every night, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think one thing that stands out, and Joey Vitale said it over and over, and he's really the first one that brought it up around the time that stretch started, was keeping the other team out of what he calls the guts of the ice, keeping them to the outside. And there's a really good chart online, I'll have to find it and maybe tweet it out, of expected goal shots versus non-expected goal shots and Bennington's save percentage on them. And the amount of shots that he's facing that are expected goals are just so minimal, meaning that the defense is doing such a good job of keeping teams to the outside. And last night, you know, he had a few good saves here and there, but really it was just like we weren't even threatened that much. It's just a great security blanket. The defense is playing really well right now.
It's pretty amazing. And again, what they have done over the past 5 weeks is just remarkable. We'll talk about it and get some perspective from Chris Kerber next, and some more baseball in the 7 o'clock hour. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Ramby with you on a Friday night from Jupiter, Florida, in our T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center. Sam and Ben down here. Mike back in St. Louis, and we head to Denver to check in with Kerbs after this on your home with the Cardinals and the Blues, KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Set me free. Blues come to center. Schwartz brings it in. Pumped on goal. Edmondson, he scores! Joel Edmondson driving the net. And he puts it underneath the goaltender, Kemper. And the St. Louis Blues take a 1-0 lead. 16:27 to play, period number one.
I switched it up. I had a bagel before the game. So maybe that was it. But I felt good out there. I usually have a bowl of yogurt with some berries and maybe an English muffin. But today, went with a bagel. I'll definitely go back with a bagel.
Braden Shen gets some room on the near side. Dumps it into the far corner. Tarasenko glides in. Got it away from Ekman Larson. Go over to Shen into the middle. Now to Sundqvist. What a play to Edmondson. He shoots it. He scores! Tarasenko deflected down a Joel Edmondson shot, and Tarasenko with points in 10 straight has his 23rd of the year, and the St. Louis Blues go up 2-0, 4:29 to play, first period. Straight away to the blue line, Chychrun, and he can bomb the puck. Gets it to Ekman Larson, far circle to step on near side to Keller, and a save by Binnington. They had him scrambling, but he blocked it, and the puck goes down the ice. Thomas to O'Reilly, now to Shen over the line, to Thomas down along the near wing, right back to Shen into the slot to Tarasenko, he scores! Vladimir has two, and it's a power play goal. Quick movement of the puck, a quick shot, and it's 3-0 Blues, 3:39 to go in the second, and Tarasenko has two in the game.
I get away a little bit this season from, start counting like goals and points because of the start. And, just try to enjoy the game now. You know, that's obviously, I'm not going to lie, it feels nice. It's going in, and, it feels more nice helping the team win. So, like I said, atmosphere is unreal. It's just, a pleasure to be here right now, and we just enjoy our time all together. I might say this every time, but that's, that's true right now.
Now the Coyotes on a power play. Step on straight away. Shot goes low. Knuckled wide of the net. Getting to the post, Binnington. He got a piece of the puck, and the Blues knock it over to the far wing and clear it down the ice. Steen gets onto it, and Edmondson works in a stroke over in the corner, centering pass to Stepan, and another good save by Binnington. Here's Sundqvist, backhanding to Dunn. Dunn, far point. Fortuzzo, he scores! Fortuzzo with a slap shot. It had eyes, it goes top shelf. And the Blues go on top 4-0, 7:57 to go in the third. Take it down the left side and into the corner it goes. They'll throw on the break. Centering pass comes through. Richardson shooting it, and a save by Binnington. Puck knocked loose, and Thomas comes out of the middle of the ice with it.
It's a nice thing to hear, I guess, but I'm more excited about the direction the team's heading and how disciplined we're being and selfless, and it's fun to be a part of the team right now.
Barbashev back in his own end. 2 seconds to go, and that'll do it. Bring out the Zamboni in Arizona. The St. Louis Blues shut out the Arizona Coyotes, and Jordan Binnington keeps it going. A 20-save performance, his third shutout of the season. He's 11-1-1, and the St. Louis Blues have won 8 in a row as the road trip goes from the desert to the mountains. For game two of the trip, Saturday afternoon in Colorado.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports of the Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. That was the winning call last night as the Blues win their 8th straight game, knocking off the Arizona Coyotes. And as Chris Kerber said, the road trip now heads from the desert to the mountains, and the team stays hot. What's going on, man? What an incredible run. I said this earlier tonight, Curbs, but everyone down here, so many of the Cardinals players, staff, front office, everyone's buzzing about the Blues. Folks are going out. There are a couple of different spots in town with the NHL package. You can watch the games, and this is unreal. Everyone's talking about it. Doesn't matter if you're with the team in St. Louis, in Florida. This has been quite the last 5 weeks or so.
It's the fun part of being a fan is you get to sit back and you have to enjoy the ride. And I think sometimes everybody thinks in sports these days you need to win a championship in day one of the regular season and go from there. But, the other reality is seasons are going to have ups and downs and you play the whole season. So it's a fun ride. I'm glad people are excited. They should be excited. There's a long way to go, but people should be excited about what they're seeing.
Isn't that what we seem to always say, Curbs? It's like it's a season for a reason. And I think that a lot of what the Cardinals did last year, the Blues are mirroring right now. Obviously, they both had coaching changes, albeit at different points of the year. They had young players who were given opportunity and stepped up. You know, in the case of the Cardinals, it was maybe someone like Harrison Bader or a newcomer like Miles Michaelis, who garnered postseason award voting for the Blues. It's been Jordan Binnington, obviously, but guys like Robert Thomas and Sundquist. And then you had some of your best players start playing their best late in the season. And it just seemed like we could never get all of that, or we never saw all of that from our perspective for more than maybe two or three periods in a row, or one or two games in a row early. What changed in that respect right about the second week of January, do you think?
Well, they started getting saves from a goaltender. That leads to confidence for your defenseman. That leads to confidence up the ice. Craig Berube's approach and everything he's saying and the accountability that he put in place and worked at and scratched guys also leads to that, saying, I don't care what your name is or who you are. If you're not playing well, you're not going to play. And he's been very direct about it. So you put all that together, and all of a sudden what's happened is they came together as a team. And now they're playing with the confidence of a team. And sometimes confidence can be fragile, but they're playing with confidence of a team right now, and that's what I think you've seen the last couple games. I don't think it would have surprised anybody, and I don't think anybody would have been overly distraught if they had laid an egg in one of these last two games.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, instead of taking their foot off the gas, they gave two teams no reason to think they were in the game from the opening faceoff on, and that's the real positive there. So that gives you a good idea of just where the mental aspects of this team are going. And you know what? With as critical as we've been at times over the course of this year with him, I think you got to give some credit to Vladimir Tarasenko and the way he's playing. He's playing with he's leading with his play on the ice right now. And he's now setting the bar not only for himself, but what his teammates need to be doing.
The most wins in the NHL since January 7th. That's when they went to Philadelphia. It was Binnington's first start. Two nights before that, you were point-wise, albeit games in hand, but point-wise at the bottom of the Western Conference. And I'm just wondering, Curbs, if you can put into perspective, because we hear in baseball about winning streaks. We hear in hockey about winning streaks. But I was shocked when I watched the preview yesterday with Darren Pang and Joey Vitale. I guess I just didn't realize. You realize they were playing great hockey, but they hadn't won eight games in a row, this organization, since 2000-2001. You have seen a lot of hockey. You see the skill in this league. You see, as you said, how there are no layup games anymore, especially over the course of a couple of weeks. With the schedule this compact, can you put into perspective what kind of feat it is to have won eight straight games and really, too, to have 27 points and just three losses in regulation in your last 17?
Well, we've seen first off, quick correction on that stat. It's been since October of 2002 that they had a nine-game winning streak. And, you know, from the games three to games 11 of that season. So, but to put it into perspective, you're right. The Blues haven't gone on that kind of a winning streak, you know, in that amount of time. Now, we've seen 7, 8, 9, 10 game win streaks in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it was Columbus a couple of years ago did like 12 or 13 or something.
Well, Philly had one. Philly had eight.
Yeah, which started after that game against the Blues on the 7th.
Well, keep this in mind. I mean, you've had the Blackhawks that just had a seven-game streak in. The Sharks just had a six-game streak in. So this isn't all that. I mean, the kind of runs aren't all that unusual. But what's really happened for the St. Louis Blues is the teams around them are losing. I mean, the way Minnesota just went deep, the way Colorado went deep, the way Dallas for a while did, ended up going deep. I mean, the reality of it is the Blues are getting all the help that they can, and they put themselves in position to take advantage of it, which has been fantastic. But as great a run as the St. Louis Blues have been in, you also got to look at some of the dips that these other teams have had. And then, Chris, you and I have talked plenty about this. Last year, the St. Louis Blues, the standings were a bit of an anomaly because it looked like the Blues were so far ahead of others. But at one point in time, you know, the calendar year turned, and they had played six fewer games than the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
So, you know, now this year it actually went the opposite. They played so many fewer games that when they righted the ship, they've caught up. And I'm telling you, I know it may sound a little like crazy talk at this point in time,
right? But the reality is the reality for the St. Louis Blues is you've got four games in hand in a head-to-head game, and you're 10 points out of second place in the Central Division. It's not inconceivable that that could hit.
Well, especially the way you just played against Nashville, right? And exactly. I have to imagine that, you know, despite the bye week and the players loving it, you said it, I said it, people have said it, it's going to catch up to some teams. It just mathematically, the volume of games down the stretch. But, you know, if you're playing well, I guess, sure, let's keep playing, right? At least mentally, you have to feel that way.
Keep playing and keep playing, keep going after it, and you know what? And you just keep riding the wave. Look, eventually you're going to slip on a banana peel. You're going to lose a game or two. But the one thing that the Blues have done all season long, Chris, is they have avoided the long losing streak. I mean, as much as they hadn't really been getting the wins, They've also avoided that long losing streak, and that's been a big factor on why they were able to also catch up here. So, look, you got to give some mad props to Craig Berube. He's been direct in his ways. He's been straightforward with what he expects from his players, and they've responded, and he has them mentally in a terrific spot right now where they're confident in any situation.
I asked this question to a couple of guys last year in terms of baseball, and I will ask you. Granted, we still have a couple of months and hopefully more than that of the season left. Tell me something right now, Curbs, that you have come to learn or appreciate about Craig Berube that maybe you didn't at the beginning of the season when his role was different.
Well, you know, we're not really allowed to put the assistant coaches on tape anymore. That's something that crept into the organization when Davis Payne was head coach. And it's unfortunate because it doesn't give fans an opportunity to hear from some of the other coaches. You know, it started when he didn't want me to do an interview with Scott Mellenby, and the organization just kind of adopted that philosophy. And it's a shame because it does mean that you don't know a whole lot about these guys. But I'll tell you that, you know, Craig is, like I just already mentioned, he's a straight shooter. He's really direct, but he seems to be a player's coach. You can see him patting guys on the back when they're coming to the bench. You can see him barking at them when they need it, and the players seem to be responding for it. Plus, I think he's also made some adjustments on the coaching side of things as well. You know, making sure guys are defending better in front of the net. Like right now, you're hearing him talk every day about heavy sticks, and you see that defense from Parayko and Bouwmeester, and that's one of the great reasons that the St. Louis Blues have been able to get to where they've been getting to is because of those adjustments he's made.
Is Jay Bouwmeester and his health and the way that he's played, the way that he's skated, is that one of the more under-the-radar stories over the last, not just 5 weeks during this run, Curbs, but really since around the holidays when they started to play better?
Jay Bouwmeester got healthy. Jay Bouwmeester started skating, and Jay could be playing some of the best hockey we've seen him play as a St. Louis Blue.
I mean, that says a lot.
It does, and that says a lot about where he's at right now. And Craig Berube singled him out yesterday. And his work ethic and what he's been doing, he says, but he goes, you got to also credit Jay Bouwmeester. He goes, he works every bit as hard on the ice, every bit as hard off the ice, and you're seeing the result of that right now. Which is good for Jay, because I don't know what his future with the St. Louis Blues is, but if he is interested in extending his career, this kind of turnaround in the season is critical for him in that situation.
Chris Kerber with us for a couple more minutes. The Blues and the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow. It will then be to Minnesota. Has it surprised you what's happened with not really just the rest of the division, but you touched on just kind of the rest of the West, and for a while it seemed like those wild card spots, especially the second one, were kind of like a hot potato. Is that the byproduct of teams being really good and just kind of beating up on each other? Is it the schedule catching up to some of these teams? I know there have been some injuries scattered about, but, you know, I guess you can still look past the records that teams have for their talent, their skill level, and the Blues are, you know, the beneficiaries. But I've been a little surprised at some of just the kind of ping-ponging hockey. It really mirrors some of what the Blues did at the beginning of the season, the way some of these teams are playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is the Blues hit their 500 stretch at the beginning of the year, and some of these other teams appear to be hitting their 500 stretches in the middle. And the Blues are taking advantage of it right now. And so
you'll see these kind of cycles in the NHL. It's pretty doggone rare what the
Tampa Bay Lightning were doing. I guess Tampa from beginning to beginning. So,
you know, from that standpoint, the St. Louis Blues are able to take advantage of the consistency of the regular season. You know, I mean, it's sort of like you're sitting there playing poker and three kings come up and you try to throw something in the pot, you know, and then, you know, just because you're in betting position. And what the St. Louis Blues have found is lately they've been in the power position to lay the right foot down. Sometimes you get caught, sometimes you don't. And right now the Blues aren't getting caught, which is really good.
Chris Kerber, he will be on the call tomorrow with Joey Vitale. You like the not just the back-to-back, but the afternoon back-to-back, I guess, from a travel perspective, especially as wonky as it is to go, you know, from Arizona to Colorado, then up to Minnesota. Maybe nice to get out, get to the hotel a little early, not have to, from a player's standpoint, worry about a morning skate and just get back to the rink on Sunday and hopefully, you know, just keep it rolling, try to make it 10 in a row.
I'll take afternoon games any day of the week we can get them. It actually gives you a chance to, like, you have a normal life at night. So I'm thrilled with afternoon games.
Kerbs, we appreciate it, man. Look forward to tomorrow and Sunday, and we will be watching from South Florida. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay, Chris. Thanks, bud. Have a good trip down there.
Let's take another break, and then we'll come back. We've got a lot more baseball talk coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, Sports Open Line on this Friday. Chris Raby with you from our T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center in Jupiter, Florida at Cardinals Spring Training with another hour of Sports Open Line coming your way after the news on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.